Luke chapter 7. The message today is our love for Jesus. There are so many scriptures I want to read to you, but I'm just going to read you a part, perhaps of two or three. Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he entered into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman who was in the city, a sinner, when she knew that he was sitting at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster cruse of ointment, and standing behind at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, look over at verse 44. Turning to the woman, our Savior said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into thy house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she hath wetted my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, John 16. Verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from the Father. Those are all the verses I'll read. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the message that we have from heaven. We are aware of how much the world would tell us about what they believe and what they want us to do and what they are. We are thankful that you give us a message from heaven. And we've read a little bit about it today, and we desire to know more about the things that you have told us, because the things you tell us are the things that come from heaven. So bless the hearts of your people who are here, our Father. You know they need to be fed. So empowered by thy Spirit, feed them and bless them, we pray. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive us our sins as you promised, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Honor the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are two things the Lord wants to know from you. First of all, do you love him? And how much do you love him? If I ask you, in all the Old Testament, and you have to have the 1901 version to answer this correctly, in all the Old Testament, tell me all the people that you can who told the Lord himself that they loved him. It has to be a personal address to the Lord saying, I love you, Lord. One. And that is in Psalm 18, where David says, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now, in the King James, it says, I will love thee. But this tense means this: I love you, and I'm going to love you in the future. And so David is the only one that I know of in the Old Testament who told God directly, I love you. Now, in the New Testament, who is the only one who ever told Jesus personally that he loved him? Peter. And he had to be asked. But nobody volunteered, as David did, I love thee, Lord, my strength. But Peter, under duress, had to be made to tell Jesus he loved him. And he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than all these? Please notice two things. Do you love me? And how much do you love me? And that is what the Lord wants to know from every one of us. When you are displaying before God all of your merits, he will ask you two questions. Well, nevertheless, do you love me? And how much do you love me? Listen to two verses, and they are of the greatest importance. The Lord Jesus said to those that seemingly were his disciples, he said, if God were your Father, you would love me. And he also said this through the Apostle Paul. He said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Notice, if God were your Father, you would love me. Well, I don't love you. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. So, it mentions our love for Jesus. And the reason that I know that I love the Lord is because he told me that I love him. I would not presume to tell him that. But this is what he says in John 16. He says, my Father loves you because you have loved me. That is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Not when you tell God you love him, but when the Lord Jesus says, my Father knows that you love me. Then all is well. For me to say, I know God, that might be wrong. But for God to say, I know you, that is what is essential. This is what Paul tells to Timothy. He says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And the Lord knows those that love him. And if you do not love the Lord, it's not that you are cursed. You are. But there is actually an anathema called down upon you. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And our Savior says this, if God were your Father, you would love me. It's impossible not to love the Lord Jesus if God is your Father, for that reason. You may ask every man, no matter what his profession is, what his religion is, you can ask him this, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And if he draws himself up and says, no, but I love God, it is of no consequence whether I love this Jesus that you're talking about. The Lord Jesus has made this statement, if God were your Father, you would love me. And if a man says, no, I do not love Jesus, I love God the Father, but I do not love Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me. The Savior is telling you this, if you do not love him, God is not your Father. It is just that simple. Now, there are two songs I used to sing when I was a child, and one of them was this: Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. There's great truth in that song, but notice, Jesus loves me. But the message is our love for Jesus. And there's another song, and you will not find it in our hymn books the way that I'm going to tell it to you, but this is the way it was written originally. My Jesus, I love you. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. What has happened is this. We've changed that. Lord Jesus, we love thee, you see. Because it's too personal to say, my Jesus, I love thee. But the person who wrote that hymn originally said, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. But we say, it's too intimate to say, my Jesus, I love you. Peter said that. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So what the Lord is interested in is whether you love him and how much you love him. I wanted to read the whole portion in Luke chapter 7, but I did not. But had we read the portion, we would have found a remarkable thing looked upon by two pairs of eyes, and it was the anointing of the feet of the Lord Jesus by this woman who in the city had been a woman of ill repute, had been a sinner, and two people watched her do it. The Lord Jesus watched her, and Simon, his host, watched her. And Simon said, now this man that I've invited into my home, I esteemed him more highly than I should have. If he were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is that is anointing his feet. And the Lord Jesus was noticing it as well. He was looking at it, and he said, this is the greatest demonstration of love that I can imagine. And so two people were looking at what the woman did, and one of them said, why, this man is not a prophet, and this woman should not be anointing his feet. But the Lord Jesus looked at what she was doing, and he said, this is a great demonstration of love. Which brings me to this, and you must remember it from the Gospel of John, because having told us about loving the Lord Jesus, he says, my Father loves you because you have loved me. But he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Notice that. He tells us that we do love him. But he says, if you do love me, you will keep my commandments. And listen to this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And I have looked at all the commandments in John's Gospel and in John's Epistle, elsewhere too, but I want to limit it to his commands in John's writings. And of all the things that he has commanded us, I'm not able to find but one thing that he commands us. And that is to love one another. You say, that's a strange thing. Yes. But an additional thing is added in John's epistle. It says, this commandment have we from him, that we believe the name of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. So there are two things: to believe all that God says about his Son, the Lord Jesus, and then to love one another as he gave us commandment. But then, notice, he says, beloved, no new commandment give I unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you heard. Again, a new commandment write I unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Who can tell me what that new commandment is? It's a negative commandment. If you read all through the second chapter of the first epistle of John, the only thing he tells us is this. He tells us that the old commandment is to love one another. He says, that's the commandment you've had from the beginning. He said, a new commandment I give you is this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so there are two things, and you are able to remember them. First of all, you've already believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you are commanded to believe the name of his Son. What does that mean? His name conveys what he is. Everything that God has told us that his Son is, believe that. And then he says, I command you to love one another, that's positive, and to love not the world. Can you remember those things? Believe everything that God says is contained in the name of his Son. Believe the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, and love not the world. And so I'm to love the people of God, and I'm not to love the world that draws me and that is so attractive to me. I'm not to love that, but I'm to love the Lord Jesus. Now, I ask you the question, do you love the Lord Jesus? And how much do you love the Lord Jesus? The only one he ever asked that question of was the man that boasted about how much he loved him. When the Savior said, all of you are going to be stumbled because of me this night. And Peter said, I'm not going to be stumbled by you. He said, I'm prepared to go to prison and I'm prepared to die for you. Peter is saying, I want you to know, Jesus, just how much I love you. I love you more than everybody else. You said that we're going to fail. All these others may fail. He said, but I'm not going to fail. I love you to the limit. And so, when the Lord Jesus spoke to him, restoring his soul, he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And then Peter renounced all the boasting about his great love for the Savior. But he said, I'll tell you this, Lord, you know that I do love you. I do not love you much, but you know that I do love you. And I rejoice in this. God had already told Peter that he did love the Son. He says, therefore doth my Father love you, because you have loved me. God has already told Peter, you love me. But now, this is a remarkable thing. Looking at the behavior of Peter, nobody would know that he loved the Lord Jesus. People would think that he hated the Lord Jesus. And looking at this woman whose reputation in the past had been one of reproach, rejection, looking at what she is doing, why, it's unthinkable. And yet here is Peter that is supposed to love the Lord so much, and he is cursing and swearing and denying that he ever knew the Lord Jesus. And yet that man truly loved the Lord Jesus. And here is a woman whose life had been one of sin, and now she is doing just the opposite of what Peter was doing. She is confessing that she has renounced her life of sin, and she is devoting herself in its entirety to the praise and worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Savior looks at both of those. And for that reason, it is not how we tell the Lord we feel. It is not what we say with our lips that we love the Lord that is important, but it is what we do that is a manifestation of how much we love the Lord. And so if you say, yes, I love the Lord, I hope that you have sense enough to say, I do not love the Lord to the greatest possible degree, but at least I love him a little. That is why when the Lord spoke about the seed that were planted, the ones that brought forth fruit, he said they brought forth 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And so I said, well, I get in because I produced at least 30-fold. If you look for those that produce 100-fold, they are rare. But if you ask me, have you borne any fruit for God? Yes. How much? 30-fold. And if you ask, do you love the Lord Jesus? I will say, yes. And you say, how much? I say, little. Because that's the comparison. Here is Simon the Pharisee, and the Lord Jesus told him how much he loved him. And he told Simon the Pharisee how much that woman loved him. He said, this woman loves much. And he said, the one that's been forgiven just a little loves little. And Simon, you are that one. You've been what you think is just a little forgiven. But this woman who has been forgiven ever so much, she loves much. And so, Simon, the woman you thought was unworthy, and you thought me unworthy as a prophet, I want you to understand that this is a demonstration of much love. And the Lord Jesus personally said, she loves me, and she loved me much. Would Jesus ever say that about you? Thank God, I know he has said that I love him. I want to give you more verses that tell you that. Because I'm looking for assurance from God's word that I love the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, first of all, in Luke 7, that this woman loved him, and she loved him much. She loves much. Whom? The Lord Jesus, because she is the one that is anointing his feet and kissing his feet. This woman loves me much. She's the only one that Jesus ever said loves me much. But he said concerning all of his true disciples, you love me. Now, this is what it also says. It mentions others loving the Lord Jesus, but it's questionable. It says in Ephesians 6:24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ with sincerity. Notice, there are some who love our Lord Jesus Christ with sincerity, or it could be translated in incorruption, with a love that is undying. All of those are legitimate translations. But notice, Paul is looking at those that love the Lord Jesus, and he says, grace be with all those that love our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm talking to you today about our love for Jesus, not Jesus' love for us. That understood. But Paul says, grace be with all you that love our Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll take it that way, sincerely. Let me give you another verse that assures you. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, whom having not seen, we love. Thank God for that. Peter says, you love the Lord Jesus, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so the Savior tells us we love him. And Paul speaks about some that love him. And Peter tells us that we love him. And in 1 John chapter 4, it says this, we love him because he first loved us. Now, we love him, but notice the order. We love him, yes, why? Because he first loved us. For this reason, if there is any love in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, It is because you have become aware, first of all, of His love for you. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? It says, Jesus, having loved His own who were in the world, loved them unto the end. Well, that is an unending love. If He could love them the way that they behaved during His lifetime on earth, they all forsook Him and fled. It said, Jesus, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them unto the end. I think of some who professed love for the Savior, and their love was temporary. The Savior in John chapter 6 is telling them deeper things about Himself, about God, about salvation. And as they heard the things Jesus said, they were talking with one another. They said, this is a hard saying. And finally, the Lord Jesus spoke to them in such a way that it says, upon this, many of them went back and walked no more with Jesus. And so here are some who profess to love Jesus, but finally, the truth drove them away. You understand that the truth of God will make you free of the truth of God, will drive you away. The Lord Jesus was simply telling them, He said, what if you see the Son of Man where He was before? It is the Spirit that's profitable. The flesh profited nothing. And when they heard those things, they said, we can't take any more of this. And they left the Lord. And so by their behavior, it showed that they did not even love Him a little. And yet, thank God for this. Peter, with his abhorrent behavior, was one who at least loved Him a little. And he was able to let the Lord Jesus search his heart and come to the determination whether he loved Him or not. Three times the Lord asked him about his love, and each time Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Thank God for that. I look at my life, and you must look at yours, and you see failure, and you see sin, but at the same time, I can look up while confessing that sin and saying, Savior, even though I have failed you miserably, you know all things. You know that I love you. And so Peter could say that. And here is this woman, and the only ones that knew her and her reputation that were not present when she came and anointed the feet of Jesus would only know what she was in the past. They did not know what the love of Jesus could do for her. But now, this woman had turned from sin, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ delivers us. We have a foe that is mighty, but the love of God is mightier still. And this love freed that woman from her sins, and that love caused Peter to repent and tell him, Lord, whatever I've done, I allow you to search my heart with your omniscience, and you know that I love you. And so that is a strong testimony to the Lord. And so here are some who love Him a little and some who love Him much. And I'm thinking that at the most, we're among those who love Him just a little. Understand, all of you who are criticizing, understand that this man that is questioning the validity of Jesus being a prophet, at least he had invited him to his home and was feeding him. All the amenities of that invitation were missing, but at least he had him in his home. How many servants of the Lord have you had in your home? How many of the servants of the Lord have you done at least a little bit to? You should have done much more for the servants of the Lord. But at least this man had the Lord Jesus in his home, and he was feeding him, and he was fellowshipping with him. But the Lord Jesus was noticing not what he did for him, but what he failed to do for him. He said, when I came in, you didn't give me a kiss. He said, when I came in, you did not wash my feet. He said, You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman anointed my feet. Do you understand that there are many things that Jesus knows you are supposed to do for him, that you never do for him, and he doesn't say anything to you about it until you start criticizing him. And when you start saying that if Jesus were a prophet, the Lord Jesus starts making known unto you your imperfections, your failures. And so, having done that, I look at my life, and the most I can ever say about the Lord Jesus is that, Lord Jesus, you know I love you. I love you just a little. I should love you much. Why? Because perhaps in comparison with the life that Simon the Pharisee lived and that this woman lived, he had only been forgiven just a little. His debt was small, morally speaking, and this woman's debt was great, morally speaking. But if you owe $50 or $500 and you can't pay it, you're both a debtor and you could be sent to prison for it back in those days. Do you remember that one man? When he was owed money, it said, put him to the tormentors until he pays everything that he owes. And so people that have sinned just a little but have never been forgiven that sin will be in hell. And people that have sinned a lot and have never been forgiven, they will be in hell. But their part shall be in the lake of fire. Yes, they'll all be in the same place, and there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. But there will be those that have sinned just a little and haven't been forgiven, and those whose lives have been filled with sin, and they haven't been forgiven. But both of them go to the same place. And thank God, all those who love the Lord Jesus even a little, we are going to the same place. And the Father knows if you love just a little. And he looks over your life and he says, the crop this year is 30-fold. Well, maybe in the future it will be 60-fold. And conceivably someday it could be 100-fold. But at least God looks and he sees some fruit in my life. And that is the thing that's important. The Lord Jesus says this. Two things. He said, if God were your father, you would love me. They did not love him. God was not their father. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And therefore, I am compelled, if I love the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep his commandments. We love to say, we are not under the law. We do not have to do anything. We are saved by grace. The Lord tells you, you have to keep all my commandments. And having looked for all those commandments associated with the word commandment, I find that we are to believe his name, that we are to love one another, and we are to love not the world. And so those are God's commandments. It says that God wrote unto Israel the 10,000 things of his law. And so, I cannot remember 10,000 things, but I can remember this, and the Lord Jesus tells me that. He says, if there is any commandment that God has given, and Paul says it too, he says, it's covered by this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And when the Lord Jesus is asked about what is the first and great commandment, he always gives it from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Lord is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. And he wasn't asked this, but he adds it. He says, the second is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, why did you have to bring that in? I was asking, what's the first commandment? He said, the next is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Every time he was asked the first commandment, he would tell them the first, and then tell them the second commandment as well. And this is what John brings out in his gospel. This commandment have we from him, that he that loveth God love his brother also. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen cannot love God whom he hath not seen. And so they are inseparable. Whatever commandments God has given us, you do not have to know all those commandments. But if you love your brother, then everything that God has commanded concerning your brother will be fulfilled. And if you love God, everything that God demands of you, it will be fulfilled. And it pleases God. It says this, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." And this is his commandment: believe the name of his Son, and love one another as I have given you commandment. Those are the things that God expects of us. But now, you who say you love him, you have to keep his commandments. Listen to what John tells that shames us. He says, "My little children, let us not love in word or with the tongue, but in deed and truth." Do you know what loving in word is? That is theologically. Theologically, we are to love, yes, and do not love in word, nor with the tongue. What is the tongue? That is hypocrisy. And James tells us about it. It says, "If you see a brother that is destitute, hungry, in need of daily bread, and you say to him," listen to what the tongue is saying, "be you warmed and filled, blessed of God, and send them forth without the things needful for the body, how does the love of God dwell in you?" You are saying wonderful things. You are loving with the tongue. And if I ask you, in your theology, are you to love? Oh, yes, that's part of my theology. Then you're loving in word. And then if you hypocritically say, "Brother, I want you blessed, and I want you clothed, and I want you to be warm," and you don't do anything for that brother, then you are loving with the tongue. And John says, "Let us not love in word or with the tongue, but in deed or in truth. If anybody see his brother naked and in need of daily food, and send him forth without giving him any blessing, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" And so the Lord is not listening to what you say. He is looking at what you do. And he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And what is that commandment? To love your brother, and to love God with all your heart, and to believe what the Father has told us about his Son. And also this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, that's difficult. And yet this is what he tells me. He says, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous." I see. They're not. Then why is it that when certain things are asked of you by God, you say, "This is hard, this is grievous"? Why, God tells us that if we love him, his commandments that he commands us are not grievous. And so this is what God is expecting of us. Let's see if this commandment is grievous. The Lord Jesus says, "If any man comes to me and loves his father or mother more than me, he is not worthy of me. If he loves son or daughter more than me, he is not worthy of me." Now, do you love the Lord Jesus that much? You say, "No," then you're not worthy of him. And he tells you that. Then our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is to be incomparable love. And he says, "That is the love I expect of you, and if it's not forthcoming, you're not worthy of me." And that's what Paul says. If I can be found worthy of the resurrection, in talking about the grace of God in your unworthiness, now that you have been saved, God wants you to become worthy. He tells you this: we love him because he first loved us. At first, yes, you were not able to love. But now that he's loved you with an incomparable love, it says, we are to love. How much? This is the distinction of the new commandment that Christ has given. He says, "A new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." Now, the old commandment was this: love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you love yourself enough. He said, love your neighbor that much. But then the new commandment is this. Forget about your love and your neighbor's love. But I want you to love one another as I have loved you. You say, that is a love that is beyond comprehension. Yes, but he wants us to try to comprehend it. It says he wants us to understand the length and breadth and depth and height and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. At least we are to know that love. And when we think of that love, we say, that's the love with which Jesus loves me. And he says, the new commandment I've given is this, that you love one another as I have loved you. You say, that is impossible. Well, at least set your sights upon the stars. Like the man said, if you set your sights upon the stars and try to reach them, you may reach the rooftop. He said, if you set your sights upon the rooftop, you'll wind up in the gutter. And so if I determine to love you a little, I'll be found in the gutter. But if I determine to love you the way that Christ loved you, well, maybe I will get to the housetops. But this is what Christ expects of us all. He asked two questions. Do you love me? And how much do you love me? And I'm afraid our answer would have to be, Lord, not very much. But by his grace, let us grow in that love so that someday we may be able to say, Lord, I'm among those that you said concerning that woman of ill repute, you love much. Let us pray. Now, Father, the marvel to us is that we love you at all. We understand why we are able to say that we love you. We love him because he first loved us. And our Father, your love is immeasurable. The love of your Son is immeasurable. Our love, our God, you tell us, it waxes and it wanes. And we pray, our God, that our love shall be great and that we shall love more and more. We know that your love is unchangeable, our God, because that which is infinite, how can it be altered? And so we are thankful for that love that you have for us and that your Son has for us. And let us remember, Father, that his commandment is to love one another as the Son has loved us. Help us to be children of God who love one another and who keep the commandments of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. In his name, amen.